Mr. Tanner?
May it please the court, Ms. Hammer. Your Honors, I believe that a substantial portion of this court's civil docket is taken up with appeals from grants of summary judgment. And I think that despite the fact that the standard for granting summary judgment is a pretty stringent one in favor of the non-movement, and in spite of the fact that this court's review is de novo, I would imagine that a lot of those cases present relatively close calls for this court. This case is not a close call. There is very substantial evidence that Detective Verrucci, doctored or otherwise corrupted, photo lineups, including direct evidence that was the nature of which was admitted in two different places by the defendants in this case, and somehow the district court managed to overrule those admissions with no real discussion of the fact that they even were admissions.
You're referring, I assume, to the picture ID.
Right.
See, because the problem I have, and I think that's what maybe helped clear up, the difference between what has to be sloppy police work or a knowing misidentification. In other words, he slid the wrong picture under her to sign and say that's the person she identified and knew it.
I don't think he knew that he had the wrong. I don't think the evidence suggests that he knew he had the wrong person.
And I've not never the wrong person, the wrong picture. She supposedly said that's him. You sure? Or something? Well, yeah. And then he slides an upside down picture over there, and she initials it.
And he knows that that's not the picture that she has selected.
That's the question. You're saying that's a question of fact, I guess.
I think that is a question of
fact. And I think that's the issue we got here, whether it's sloppy police work or whether that was an intentional act.
Well, it was both, wasn't it, in the sense that he must have been, because of the strange behavior of the other Jeffrey Lawson, the officer must have been absolutely convinced that this was the guy and that these witnesses, you know, were just out of it. Right? Isn't that what he must have thought? So he thought he had the right person, and he wasn't going to let these witnesses deflect him from the true path.
I couldn't put it any better, Judge. I think that's exactly what happened here. I think that's what the evidence shows happened here. Even if we didn't have Ms. Colvin's testimony or Arcadia Matheson's mother's equivalent of testimony, her declaration. I think if a reasonable fact finder is looking at this case and you say, okay, they met this man in a Target store. I don't mean to presuppose Your Honor spend a lot of time at Target stores, but I think you can assume it's a reasonably well-lit retail environment. They exchanged words with this man, and then some moments later he attacks one of them outside the store. And I said, now the witness came in, looked at a photo lineup, and picked the wrong guy. You'd say, well, okay, that happens sometimes. Memories are fallible, whatever. But then if I say, well, then another witness the same day who was present for the same thing, this is all 2-3 days after the event, came in and also picked the wrong guy and the same wrong guy. A reasonable fact finder might suggest, well, you know, they probably look alike and these things happen. Well, it's admitted they don't look alike. And by the way, I apologize. I think I created some confusion in terms of what portion of the record I was referring to, but there are pictures that I hope the court has managed to find. If not, I can point you to them better. But these guys, they have different. The Jeff Lawson, who was apparently involved in this thing, has a big round face. My client has a narrow face. My client's got a full head of hair. Jeffrey Lawson was both described in the picture as having, or Jeffrey W. Lawson, the bad guy, had a shaved head. No resemblance between these guys. I think at this point, a fact finder begins to say, something's funny here. But then if I go and tell that fact finder, you know what else is really strange? They both got the same name. You know where that leads you. There's something wrong here, and it's got to be exactly what Judge Posner suggested. The officer thought he had the right guy, probably engaged in some shoddy police work that I think might veer into the sheer incompetence that is capable of depriving an officer of qualified immunity, But in any event, he had to have done something. This just, the chances of this happening without the officer doing something wrong, and something knowingly wrong, like overriding the witness's failure to pick the guy who the officer wants him to pick, the chances of that happening innocently are astronomically small. And then you add to that, you get Ms. Colvin in to say, no, I didn't pick that guy. I picked a different guy. And the officer kept saying, are you sure? Are you sure? Then shows her a picture of a woman, and she says, oh, that's the girl that was with the guy that attacked me. And the officer slides a photo face down to her and says, this is her boyfriend. Sign here. That's the testimony. The Rockford and the defendants admit that that was the testimony. So the district court here, with all due respect, went way off the reservation here. And I've looked back at the briefing below to figure out whether it can be difficult to tell a story involving two guys with virtually the same name. But, I think we set it out pretty clearly. We never staked out this theory that the district court attributed to us that Detective Arucci was laying wait to frame this Jeffrey Lawson, and by sheer luck another Jeffrey Lawson was implicated in a crime. We've never suggested anything like that. And
I presume the picture that she actually identified has not been found, right?
It is not to be found. The Detective Verrucci's testimony was that he showed her six photos that are part of Verrucci Exhibit 2. Ms. Colvin testified that she's virtually certain that she was shown more than six photos.
One of which she definitely identified.
Right.
And that there's not been an array of back pictures somewhere where she could go through and say, that's the one I identified or something.
I have no way to find out who else's picture was shown there. And frankly, that one's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me.
Isn't it kind of unusual that the array was not preserved?
Well, I think they've indicated that the array was preserved. Detective Arucci testified that Exhibit 2, that from his deposition, was in fact the array that he showed her.
The six we've had. I don't know. I've got copies somewhere.
The six individual photos of men.
Is it that was one of the six? He's in the upper right-hand corner, or somebody is?
That's the array that he did not show her. That's the array that was put together after the misidentification was discovered. So, and this is well over a month later. My client, Jeffrey A. Lawson, has served his 34 days in the jail. He's been released. And at this point, Detective Arucci is told, we'll go out and continue with your investigation. And he then goes and shows that to some people, to Arcadia's younger brother, Tony, who immediately identifies Jeffrey W. Lawson. Shows it to the Target store manager, and there's a dispute in the evidence. Detective Arucci claims the store manager was unable to make an identification. The store manager says, no, I immediately identified the assailant, or the man who had been.
Well, they know who did it. It's just they knew who did it.
I think everyone knows.
By everybody's, the girlfriend's father was a mayor?
Yeah, it's a confusing enough story without getting into that.
But I mean, by identifying her, then the mother calls, and then the so-called the guy calls that drove the car with the identified license plate, and then he's on the phone, and the next day, I'm getting a lawyer.
Right. Everybody's talking about the same Jeff Lawson. Everybody's talking to the same Jeff Lawson, except that when Detective Arucci goes to find a photo, he gets a photo of my client. There's some irony. This is the second mistaken identification case up today, and before your honors, and the first case up today was in the United States versus Tanner, which is my last name.
That is confusing.
There's a lot of power that people don't exercise carefully.
Might have been a little nervous there.
Be careful in the hallway. Before I sit down, I just want to say that asking for Rule 36 relief on this case is not something that I did lightly, but it seems to me that this fine district judge somehow lost his perspective on this case, and I hope the court agrees that it's a reasonable request that it be reassigned pursuant to Rule 36, which I know the court has done from time to time and on summary judgment appeals. There may be some practical issues there because I'm not sure how active a docket Judge Reinhard maintains these days, and there are no other full-time district judges in Rockford, but Judge Hamilton, having tried a case in front of you in this courthouse once when you were on the district court, I believe, when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office. But
was, that the, was that the sculpture case?
Yes, it was.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
That was a fun one.
It's the only one I did here. So, okay.
I know where there's a will is a way, and I think it would be appropriate in this circumstance. So we would ask that the judgment below be reversed and the case be remanded for trial before a new judge.
Thank you, Mr. Tanner. Ms. Hammer?
The court, Mr. Tanner. My name is Angela Hammer on behalf of the defendants and appellees. There's no question that it was an unfortunate set of circumstances that led to the arrest of the plaintiff in this case, but I believe the trial court reached the correct decision in granting the defendant summary judgment. Summary judgment is appropriate when there is no genuine issue of material fact. And based upon the trial court's analysis of Ms. Colvin's testimony, it didn't amount to more than a scintilla of evidence and therefore did not preclude summary judgment.
Why wasn't the district court's treatment of that basically appropriate for a closing argument to a jury? Here's why you shouldn't take at face value what she said, because of the hindsight.
I believe the district court relied upon what evidence that Detective Rucci had at the time that the arrest was made, and not the...
But we have to assume not Verucci's testimony, but Colvin's testimony, right?
Yes, sir.
Which, would you agree, indicates deliberate manipulation of the photo ID process, if taken at face value?
That's what it alludes to, yes.
Okay. That's a reasonable inference.
Yes.
So plaintiff's entitled to the benefit of the reasonable inference. The inference is the detective is deliberately manipulating the photo ID process to nail the wrong Jeff Lawson. Why isn't that enough?
I don't believe that testimony was credible based upon the additional evidence. The affidavit submitted by Ms.
We don't usually, the judge is not supposed to make a credibility determination, especially if what he said was, it is not surprising that she tried to distance herself from a mistake through an unexplained after-the-fact denial of her role. Well, that's a perfectly good point, but that's the sort of thing you leave to a jury. It's not that her... I mean, judges can resolve credibility issues if what the witness says is, you know, totally fantastic. But there's nothing fantastic about her testimony. Maybe it's questionable, but I mean, as Judge Hamilton said, yeah, that's the type of thing an opposing party would say, well, you know, it is rather surprising that you should have said that. But it doesn't sound as if grounds for taking it away from the trier of fact.
But I think you're coupled with the affidavit that was submitted by Ms. Matheson's mother. She never denied actually making the identification with 75% certainty that it was the photo.
After getting pushed and pushed and pushed, according to that affidavit, right?
There was some insistence upon Detective Verucci's part that she make an identification.
Yeah, that's not the way that process is supposed to work, is it?
Well,
is that routine with the Rockford police?
I hope not, Your Honor.
So do I.
It's our position that, based upon the evidence and the way everything was aligning, the unfortunate series of circumstances that led Detective Rucci to believe that Jeffrey Lawson was the perpetrator, it's not something that could happen coincidentally, I guess. The whole
thing. But do you agree the two people didn't look alike?
There were inconsistencies, yes, Your Honor. They were both white males. There was an age difference.
Well, not all white males look identical.
I understand, Your Honor. There were...
Apparently they were very different. I haven't seen the pictures, but apparently they were quite different looking.
The main inconsistency between the photos that Ms. Colvin pointed out at her deposition was the hair, that she believed her assailant was bald or balding. So that was what the district court judge relied upon in addressing that issue in his that dissimilarity alone didn't give rise to enough to prevent summary judgment.
Well, when they had the question, looking through those photos in that exhibit, do you see there the photo you initially identified as the person who had done this to you? And she says, no, sir. Now, the judge discounted that with saying, well, she didn't want to something or other. There's a quote in there someplace. We know. And he said, well, also, they didn't pursue it. Didn't go on and I guess redirect and say, now, you really didn't see that. And he saw someone else. And I guess he wanted to do more before he took that no as a no. There again, that's sort of a credibility issue, isn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. And it's my understanding that the photo lineup was preserved and it was attached as an exhibit to Officer Verucci's deposition transcript. And when she was showed those six photos, she indicated that the one she identified was not included in that photo array.
But the I guess what I'm not sure what that photo array represents. She indicates, or at least there's some indication, there was another picture.
According to her testimony, she believes she was shown more than the six photos that were tagged into evidence, Your Honor. It's the city's position that Ms. Colvin's testimony did not rise to the level that would preclude summary judgment. An unfortunate series of circumstances led to Detective Verucci obtaining an arrest warrant for the plaintiff. I would ask that this court respectfully.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Hammer. Mr. Tanner, do you have anything further? Well, thank you very much to both of you for your arguments. Next case for